Good morning, good morning. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, bringing you another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message we call the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Yes, we're riding out on old Dan, as it were, early this morning, bringing you, thus saith the Lord, cutting back the briars and the bushes and the brambles that clutter up the human heart, bringing you the Word of God, taking it as a sharp sword, sharper than any two-edged sword, the Word of God is, and cutting away all the things that hinders you from coming to know the Lord. And we've been bringing you some studies, a series of studies on the God of grace. And we're bringing you this morning, we're coming there to the sinner coming to the throne of God's grace. I don't know anywhere you could come, my friend, that would be a greater place to come than to the throne of God's grace. The Apostle Paul writes, come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. But the poor old sinner, my friend, apart from the grace of God, won't come. He won't come, no. But when the Lord takes a hold of him, when he won't come because of all of that rebellion and he hates God in his natural state, he thinks God has done him an injustice. He blames God for his condition. Therefore, he'll not come to the throne of grace because he has to come taking all the blame for all of his rebellion. Now, that's how a sinner won't come, because he has to take the blame. He spurns God's grace because he wants to come as he wants to come, not as the Lord dictates, no. Until a sinner learns that he cannot control or dictate to God, that God is not to blame for his condition, he'll never come to the throne of grace. All rebellion has to be broken, and the sinner must be made to lie in the dust of repentance, taking the blame, thereby releasing God from all the responsibility. Now, I know that's a strange doctrine to many of you this morning. I know that in this day of easy believingism, Arminianism, where we hear just a smooth gospel preached, you don't hear anything about repentance, do you? But God's Word says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He says it twice there in Luke. I believe it's the 13th chapter of Luke. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Almost one right behind the other. Then John the Baptist came on the scene crying, repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But I know we don't hear that much more. But here on the Old Trailblazer, you hear it, my friend. Yes, sir, you're going to hear it here on the Trailblazer broadcast. But listen, multitudes of sinners, when they once hear the story of the gospel of the grace of God and hear about the throne of grace, they'll jump up and say, oh, let's go, let's go. And then they find out that they don't want to go the way of grace. Oh, they may all be talking about, but they said, no, I'm not coming as a beggar. Pastor said, I have to come as a beggar. Old Trailblazer, you say I must come as a beggar. I never begged in my life. Then here's another one who say, wait, I'm not going to take the blame. I'm not to blame for this, that, and the other, but I'm not going to take it. And all that rebellion, he turns back and goes back to the world. Listen, my friend, isn't that a sad case? Another will say, count me out. I'm not giving up everything. The Bible says, whosoever forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Listen, he said, I'm not giving up this way of life that I have. No, no. But but you'll find one here and one there. That's what we do here at the Old Trailblazer broadcast. We do what we call pole line fishing. One here and one there. Right in, say, Trailblazer, keep on, keep on. I want to be saved. I want to know the Lord. I see myself lost, and I want to know how to be saved. But it's just one here and one there. It's not the masses like we hear on the television where these great evangelists goes down into Florida the other night and had a big rally, and they said 6,000 came down to the front to call itself saved. My friend, it's not one out of a million saved in those conditions. No, that's not salvation. That's just you're running after a man just because of the man who gave the invitation. Oh, I went to hear Dr. This, and I went to hear Dr. So-and-so, and I went to see this one. Listen, that's all froth, my friend. That's just like foam on the top of a root beer. That's no strength in it. It's all just froth. That's what it is. But one here and one there, you'll find one saying, I'm going through. I'm going to take the way of God, despised few. That's what God's people are, just a despised few. one here and one there. And he says, I'm going to become identified with the rejected Christ. I want to be saved. And so you'll see that old sinner coming down the road empty-handed, not coming to the altar where the preacher shake his hand. No, he's coming to Christ. He brings nothing with him but his old sin. Do you know the only thing that commends us to God or recommends us to God is our sin? The Lord only died for sinners. He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said the well or the whole need not a physician. Isn't that a gracious verse of Scripture? Those that are well, they don't need a doctor. You carry a well person to the emergency room and call a doctor, and then he say, "You, I don't need no doctor. I don't need you, doctor. Go on back, treat those folks that are sick." But you take a man burning up with a fever or pneumonia, and the doctor comes in, he readily submits to the doctor, do whatever the doctor tells him to do. But listen, same way it is with a sinner. If he never sees his need of Christ, if he never sees his guilty distance from the holy God, he'll not have it. Listen. He brings nothing with him but his old sin as he comes down that road, like old Christian there in Pilgrim's Progress, heading for the celestial city. Listen, the individual who goes to the throne of God's grace carries nothing with him because he's going after salvation. He realizes that spiritually he's bankrupt, that he's naked. Listen, he's going after that robe of righteousness. That's what he's hunting. He's hunting a robe of righteousness. He realizes that he's sinful. He's going after the forgiveness of sin. He's going there to find grace in the eyes of God. He realizes he's guilty and condemned to die. Every child of God who has been saved knew that he was guilty of sin and that he was justly condemned to die for breaking God's law, for sinning against the holy God. That's right, my friend. He realizes that he's so guilty that he's condemned to die. And listen, he's seeking a pardon. Have you been pardoned, my friend? This morning hour, have you been pardoned? Can you look away from all of the things that beset you and say, thank you, Lord, for pardoning this old wretched sinner, this old hell-deserving sinner? He wants to be set free in Christ. Do you know there's freedom in Christ? He realizes, maybe for the first time, that he's vile and unclean, and he's like the old prodigal son there when he got up out of the hog pen. He was vile and wretched and smelled like the hog pen, smelled like hog feed. His clothes were saturated. That's a picture of a sinner, saturated with sin. But listen, in Christ, he's going there to the throne of grace for that cleansing. Just like old Naaman did there when he went down to the prophet's house, and the prophet told him to go over there in the river Jordan and dip seven times. And listen, he roared off on his old stallion there, said, who is that fella? I'll not go down there and dip in that muddy river. Said, isn't the rivers of Israel, of Syria so much greater than that old river Jordan? Listen, he was covered with leprosy from one end to the other, had it covered up with all that fine uniform, with all the epaulets on his shoulders and the brass buttons and the medals. He was the chief of staff of the army of Syria. And listen what happened. I think about this often. His servant there, one of his servants, one of his men servants, who no doubt the Lord had moved his heart. He said, Master, if the prophet had asked you some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Wouldn't you have charged across the desert to fight anyone or to bring back anything that he sent you after? But listen, all he asked you to do was to go down there to that Jordan River. Surely it's an old muddy river, but it means becoming identified with the Lord, Lord's people there at that old Jordan River. He said, Master, why not? Why not go down there? So he did. The Lord moved his heart to go down there to the old Jordan River. Got down off of his old war stallion in front of all of his soldiers there, his captains and lieutenants and soldiers and all of those bodyguards. Stripped off that uniform, my friend. Stripped off those high lace-up boots and that gracious uniform with all of the buttons and the brass, all of those things. Stripped off all of that underwear, whatever he had on underneath it. Stripped off naked there in front of those men. And it showed all his leprosy from his toes up to his neck. He'd kept it concealed all that time. But he was now stripped, just like every sinner who comes to Christ, stripped of all of his self-righteousness, realizing that he's guilty. And that burden of sin is more than he could bear. Old Naaman couldn't bear that leprosy. He couldn't cleanse himself from that leprosy. Neither can you cleanse yourself, my friend, from the guilt and burden of sin. That old sin of leprosy, it depicts a sinfulness of man. Listen, he realizes he's a son of Satan, ever sinner who knows anything about salvation. And had been born again, knows that he was a son of Satan, knows that he was a captive of hell. And listen, he's going there to the throne of grace for deliverance, just like old Naaman went there to the Jordan River. He first went to the prophet, but the prophet said, don't stop here. Go on down. There's where salvation is found, there in that Jordan River. And he stripped off all those clothes, went out in that Jordan River, dipped 7 times. And what does the Bible say? Said he come forth clean, clean as a newborn baby. Now, my friend, that's what happens when God saves a sinner. He takes away the sin. He takes away the vileness. He takes away the degradation. He takes away the guilt. He takes away the penalty of sin. Oh, and he comes out. He comes forth clean as a newborn snow, my friend. Just clean as a little young baby, having been washed after he was born. Put in his little blanket there and powdered and pampered and brought to his mother's arms there. Oh, my friend, that's what God does. That's how God saves a sinner. You think you can be saved just making a decision for Jesus? That's not salvation. Salvation is being identified with the crucified Christ, taking all the blame for your old hateful spirit, your old hateful heart, your old hateful attitude, your critical tongue, my friend. Oh, sometimes I get so tired of a critical tongue here and there, and wherever I go, there's always criticism, criticism, criticism. Oh, my friend, listen, let me tell you, the pastor one time said this woman come into his office and said, Pastor, I wish you'd let me do something for you. And he said, well, I sure will. What is it? She said, I'd like to cut 6 inches off of your necktie. So he reached in his desk drawer and pulled out a pair of sharp scissors and said, well, there you are. And she reached over and whacked off 6 inches of his necktie. That she didn't like it was. And he said, now, my friend, my lady, would you allow me to do something for you? And she said, well, sure, if I can. He said, would you stick out your tongue and let me cut about 6 inches off of it? Oh, my friend, a tongue is a terrible thing. It's like a fire, the Bible said. But I see so much criticism. But did you know all that leaves you? When you come to know the Lord, did you know that critical spirit is gone? No more. No. Thank you, Lord, for saving such an old sinner. Thank you, Lord, for saving such an old outcast as I am. Listen, my friend. Oh, if we could just stop and see that we are wretched and vile and outcast by nature, that we hate God in essence. Oh, we don't go out in the street and shake our fist at God and curse, no. But when the Lord steps on your toes with the message that God's servant bring, oh, you rebel there and buck and kick and fume and fuss and won't have it. And you run off like old Naaman did there. But listen, could I as God's servant tell you this morning, would you turn and go down there to the Jordan River and dip 7 times this morning? Would you approach the throne of God's grace? Would you do that this morning, my friend? God is able to cleanse you. God is able to take away that old stony heart, that old wicked heart that you got there in your bosom that you have there. The Lord is able to take it away. He said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll give you a heart that can be touched. Oh, that can be molded and made after the image of our blessed Lord. My friend, this is the old trailblazer, Pastor Alva Pendarvis speaking, bringing you another message this morning, bringing the message to a close, speaking, oh, the throne of God's grace. How gracious it is to be able to come there. Would you come there with me this morning? We're going to pick it up in our next study. Remember, our mailing address is Radio Mission,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785.
Goodbye, and God bless you.